Well, hello, you guys, and welcome back to another episode of Talks with Tori, the podcast. Y'all, today's episode is one that I have been looking forward to since before we even launched the podcast. Literally, when I was thinking about the podcast, I was thinking about bringing Erin on. If you have listened to our podcast, Mornings with the Masters, or you have followed over on YouTube, you have probably heard me talk about my mentor, Erin Blair, so many times, but the impact that she has had on my life was so monumental, truly life-changing. And so I'm so excited for y'all to just like meet her in person and hear from her. We'll share a little bit about our story, how we met, and then so much more. Every single conversation I have with her just leaves me feeling so filled up. Anytime I'm in her presence, I leave encouraged. Like, I just feel better after being around her. And so I'm so excited for y'all to hear from her. She taught me so much about prayer and life with Jesus and accountability and gosh, what it just looks like to be mentored by someone. And so anyways, I'm very, very, very excited. Before we jump into that conversation, I do just want to encourage you guys really quickly. I love the book of Nehemiah. Y'all know that. If you read through chapter 1 of Nehemiah, you will hear his heart when he is praying to the Lord. And I'm currently using a new Bible. This is called the Courage for Life Bible. And it has these little sections titled Listen to the Word on each page as well, with like a little bit of encouragement. I just want to read this really quickly. It says, when you listen to Nehemiah 1, which you can listen to audibly, but when you read it, reject the worldly lie that your prayers are ineffective and do not matter. Replace that with the truth that God wants you to pray about everything and tell him what you need. You should always be confident that God hears your prayers and answers them according to what he knows is truly best. And so when you read the story of Nehemiah, when you see how God opened doors and made a way and just the ways he moved in his life, it should encourage you in your prayer life to get specific, to truly cry out to God. Like, there is so much power in your prayers when you truly believe it, but you have to believe it. You have to know that as you go into the throne room of God and you make your requests known and you do it with thanksgiving and with reverence for him, he hears you. And he answers according to what he knows is best. And we can find comfort in that, because if God knows that this is best, then that's all we can ask is God's best, right? Because it's always better than what we think, because it's his will that is better. And so anyways, I hope that encourages you guys to just pray today without ceasing, without an agenda, just come to God and share it all, like literally share it all. So anyways, we're about to hop into the conversation, but I do just want to thank you guys for the reviews that you've been leaving. I've been reading them and they have just really encouraged me and brought me so much joy. And so if you haven't left a review or a rating over on Apple or Spotify and you want to take a second to do that, it just helps more people find the podcast. And then if you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe, join the community, share it with a girlfriend, maybe watch it with a friend, just feel like you're in the room with us is my goal. So anyways, I love you guys, and let's jump into the conversation. Yay!
Okay. I can be so pixelated, but I want to see like your full face.
Dang it! Oh man, that's Riverside. We're gonna end up switching over to a different one at some point, because Riverside always glitches. So I'm sorry, but anyways, first and foremost, welcome to the podcast.
Yay! I made it.
We finally coordinated this, and I only have one kid Earthside right now, and you have five, and so coordinating is slightly hard. But I will
it's a chore.
It is, but ever since I even had the idea of Talks with Tori, the podcast, I had the vision of you being on it. Because truly, for the people listening, maybe the people watching, I have shared about your impact in my life dozens of times, probably even more than that. I attribute.
You're supposed to have me crying already. Like, where are the tissues? Gosh, I haven't even gotten into this. Go ahead.
But I do. I attribute so much of the pivot in my life to your pursuit of me, and you seeing something in me that I didn't see in myself, and you pulling out the gold I did not know was there. And yeah, I just want, let's open up and just share a little bit of our story, because so many people ask about you. They ask how we met, what that journey looked like, what mentorship looks like, the importance of mentorship. And I've just seen firsthand, and we've gone through so many seasons, and your role in my life has looked different in different seasons, but especially there in the beginning couple of years, it was so life transforming for me, because the accountability you held me under and the pursuit that you pursued, like the way you pursued me. You share your side a little bit, because I feel like I've shared mine with you.
I was not planning on crying. There's something about being in your 40s. Let me just go ahead and drop some wisdom right here. 43. There's something about, I may just cry all through this, but there's just something about, like, when you get older and you look back and you don't realize at the time, especially when you're young and you're single, you're dating, you're married, you're a kid, like you're living like in the moment. You're almost in survival mode.
Yes.
And then you get older and things kind of slow down and you look back and you're like, God, I never would have known that that relationship or that moment would have turned into something so glorious, so beautiful, so life-giving. And so I know we'll get to this, but when you mentor, when you disciple, in the beginning, it's always fun. You're getting to know the person. You're pulling out the gold, speaking life. Like, it was so clear, like, how God's hand was on you, how he was going to use you in a powerful way. But I just wanted to be with you. Aww. I just wanted to do life with you. And just you so quickly just opened up your heart to me. And that's sacred. And I never took that for granted. I don't take that for granted for any woman that allows me in, because those are precious places. Yeah. And so now, fast forwarding all these years, it's just more precious, because the longer you walk with someone and watching you go from single to dating Chad to being married to having, you know, all the battles and then Micah and baby, all the things in your life, it's just incredibly fulfilling and incredibly humbling that God would let me watch it. And it encourages me. It boosts my faith. And as I say, the older you get, the more precious things like this become. Yeah. So that's why I'm a mess.
I mean, it was a decade ago, Erin. It was literally a decade ago when we met. Because we're coming into 2014. I don't know if it was 2013 or 2014 when we met, but I mean, close enough, right? Like, where it's there's a lot of change. And I will say that when you first met me, and I think that this is something that is the reason why I'm so appreciative of our relationship, was I wasn't that, like, quote unquote, good Christian girl back then. I'm sure that, like, you saw something, but, like, I remember, like, walking through so much still in that season. And I believe that the Lord was starting to really pursue and, like, pull me back to him in that season. But I don't, like, what did you see? Because when I look back at the version of me then, I am like, oh, she was a hot mess.
Oh my God. Okay, well, what originally got my attention was you in that gold sparkle dress. And I was like, I've always wanted to wear a dress like that. I have no idea where I would wear it, but it was at the Mardi Gras party.
It was. We showed up,
Matt and I and the girls, and there you were, and you were just Tori. You were just you. You were just shining bright, and there was just that light about you. And so we talked, and you talked about the pageant life, and you talked about things you're passionate about. And I remember at one point, I think you were sitting in the chair, and I was sitting on the ground. Like,
you were sitting with Aliana.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. She was sitting there too. And just hearing you talk about the things in your heart, it was just clear. And so when you walk close with the Lord, like, there's that spirit to spirit connection he just gives you with people. And so they don't always know it, but you know it. And you can hear God saying, I want you to pour into that. I want you to encourage and speak. And then you're on the dance floor with all the girls. And I was like, okay, there's something special about this. If she can enter all of this drama and emotions, then there's something really special about her.
No one listening is surprised that I was on the dance floor with the babies. Like, that is just babies. Me to a
dogs.
T.
I mean, if there's dogs in the room, you're going to be with the dogs.
Yeah, dogs are babies. I'm like, I love adults, but like, give me some babies and some little kids to play with, and I'm in my element. But no, that really was such a sweet season. And I just have learned and grown from what you're walking through with the Lord too in every season. I think that's like the beauty of having, you know, we always talk about it's so important to walk through life with people who are in the same season as you and then mentoring someone behind you. But I do think the beauty, especially for me with you, is you've always been a couple seasons ahead of me, right? Like, so I was single in the dating scene, trying to figure things out. Like, I needed your approval on what was going on. That's why I was so excited for y'all to meet Chad. And when I knew it was Chad, when I was excited for y'all to meet him, because I do remember being in the dating scene. And if I did not want who I was dating, like, if I didn't want you guys to meet them, I was like, oh, probably not the right probably not the right person. But when Chad and I started dating, I just remember I could not wait for you guys to meet him. And I feel like the girls just immediately gravitated towards him. And it was
We all did. We all did. We're like, this is the one. And we knew it had to be someone special.
Yeah.
And as soon as we met him, we're like, this is it.
Chad is someone special. He is one of a kind. Such a good dad. Oh my goodness. But wait, what was I saying? I totally lost my train of thought. Oh my goodness. Where was I going with that? No idea. I lost my train of thought when I was thinking about Chad. I'm like,
you just went to dreamland.
I did. I went back to like dating and everything. And I'm like, that season.
We did a lot of that together. You know, and what I loved about you in that is that you were always coming back to what God wanted. You were always coming back to the Word. I mean, that was the season when you started leading small groups.
Yeah.
You know, with single girls and like teaching them like how to pray. The war room.
Yes.
Teaching them the war room.
Everyone still knows I'm obsessed with the war room. It is.
You gotta have a war room. And it does, you know, like we just moved into this new house and we've got a walk-in closet, but it's like Judah's playroom. So I'm in there getting ready. So he's got all his Legos, everything there. So nothing about it is pretty. I mean, I step on the Legos, but that's where I go. And I close the door and just sit there and honest and real with God. Sometimes on my face, sometimes crying, sometimes journaling, the word, worship. It's like this whole experience. But I always come out different.
Yeah.
It's always come out full. And that's exactly what you were able to equip those girls with, like ways to encounter God and his love.
So that reminded me what I was actually going to share before.
Okay, we're bringing it back around now.
What I was going to share before was, because your season's ahead of me, I was always able to glean wisdom from what God is currently doing in your life. because I do feel like there's so many people who watch us that might be a season behind us. Maybe they're waiting for the one that God has for them, or maybe they are in a relationship and they're trying to navigate like what boundaries look like, what a healthy view of sex looks like, and what that's going to look like. Or maybe they just got married and they're trying to navigate newly married life, or maybe they just had their first baby. And so it's fun for me because I don't feel like there's a ton of people in our space that are like seasons and seasons ahead of us. And so I feel like I've always looked to you and your life and what God's currently teaching you. And I think the reason I've always been so drawn to you is because I see the fruit of your intimacy with the Lord. And, you know, because there's people who are different in on stage or on the platform than they actually are in real life. But with you, I've never doubted your intimacy with God. And so anytime I come to you and I'm like, what's God teaching you right now? You're like, let me lay it out for you. And I'm like,
well, how long do you got?
Give it to me. Give it to me. But it's so good. And so I do want to ask you, like, genuinely, I think this is like what the heart of this podcast was for me with Talks with Tori, was I want to bring in women that I truly have gained so much wisdom from, and share it with other people, and just share these conversations. Cause I feel like every time I talk to you, I'm like, man, I wish we could have just broadcasted this entire conversation, because sometimes we have to be careful about answering, cause we know we'll talk for like 2 hours and we're like, we don't know how to have a short conversation.
That's when you try to FaceTime me. I'm like, Tori, I know, you know, I don't FaceTime.
Well, I like
that. But I know it's like a love language for you. Yes. You just want to see the face.
So this is my way of FaceTiming you. I'm like, I got to get you on the podcast so I can see your face and you won't ignore my FaceTime calls.
I love you so much. FaceTime's a lot, but I love you so much.
It's true. Okay. So what is God teaching you right now in this season of your life?
Well, first, I love what you said about that. So if we look at how, like, I've poured into you and I got to watch you pour into young girls and like now how your life is all about pouring into people, that's really legacy. You know, so for me, this past year was 21 years free from drug and alcohol addiction. Yeah. And so when I got out of rehab over 21 years ago, I threw myself into all things church because I knew I had to change my people, places, things. I had a radical encounter with Jesus in rehab. It was like a woman at the well. I started testifying about Jesus in rehab and just started and went from sorority party girl to now preacher girl. You know, it's just been like this incredible journey with him. And when I look back again, as you get older, you look back so much and it's like, it's the people. It's the people he put in my life that got me to where I am. Mm-hmm. So when I threw myself into all things church, it was like mentoring, discipleship. I had a woman who, she just knew the word so well. And she would teach it to me. She would make time for me. She would just help me with my struggles, help me figure out how to make decisions. All I knew the decisions was to turn to things of the world to get through hard times. So I had a whole like programming of my mind. And so even when I think of you, I think of her and countless others to this day, I've got those women who pour into me. And anytime Matt and I have moved, that's been number one. Yeah. Who are the pastors in our life that when things aren't good, because things aren't always great, that when we're struggling, because life is full of struggles, where are we going to go? Mm-hmm. And so that's now, it's just a way of life. And so with your generation, I love when I hear that, when they're like, we want someone above, someone who's gone ahead that can speak in, like, what can we learn from that? And I still do that. We have older women in our church and it's just like wanting to sit at their feet.
Yes.
And just listen to their stories and how they know God and how they've gotten through hard times. And it's just to position yourself like that is to set yourself up for a blessed life.
Right.
Truly. It truly is. And so I would say, oh gosh, where do we go in all this piece of me? One, the main word that comes up is abide. Mm-hmm. It's abide. And learning how to like really abide in Christ. So yeah. There can be the teaching of you get up in the morning, you read your word, you journal, you pray, kind of check it off the list and you go on.
Right.
But what God wants, he wants us to be connected to him because we're nothing apart from him. So he wants us to be connected with him 24/7. Mm-hmm. And that can seem daunting. That could be like, how is it possible? But it's just like for me, I start the morning in that posture of connecting and then I'll sit there and I'll say, God, what do you want for me today?
Yeah.
So not tomorrow, not next year, because I get very overwhelmed and anxious throughout my day when I start thinking about all the things to come. So lately, it's just been like today. What's the word today? What can I carry out today? And what do you want me to do with that?
Right.
And then throughout the day, I actually have my phone set up with reminders and that they'll remind me all throughout the day, the Lord's Prayer. I have one thing that says I can't control my circumstances, but I can control my responses.
Right.
So even being intentional throughout the day when I get busy to like, oh no, reset, reconnect with God, surrender what it is that I'm anxious about right now.
Yes.
And it's just amazing, this new peace that I feel like I'm walking in that is 100% coming from abiding and not rushing, not making it a to-do list. Like, let me just check it off. And not rushing through it, but no, I want to sit here in his presence because this is everything I need, and I can't lead from an empty cup.
Right.
So I got to get full here.
No, it's so true. Chad and I have been talking a lot about the fruits of the Spirit and how we can't produce the fruits of the Spirit if we're not abiding. Like it's like a tree that's not planted. If an apple tree isn't planted, it's not going to produce apples, right? Like it has to be planted, it has to be rooted, it has to be nourished, right? And so something that I've been really praying for in regards to the fruits of the Spirit is the fruit of self-discipline. Because I feel like if you don't have the fruit of self-discipline, then you're not going to be able to abide. Right. And so if I'm not able to abide, I can't do any of it. But first, I have to have the self-discipline to even get in his presence, to even be aware that I'm distracted, to be aware of what I'm watching, what I'm listening to, where I'm spending my time, when I actually do have moments in the day to pause and to rest and to step aside. But it's so easy to be like, oh, I'm just going to check Instagram real quick. And then I get caught up in the DMs and then I'm like, oh wow, 30 minutes just went by and I could have had some sweet time with Jesus right then, but that's not what I chose. And I think that that's the crazy thing about the fact that we have free will, right? And so it's like, I keep going back to that verse where it's like, if the Bible says, draw near to him and then he will draw near to you. Well, that means that it's our job, it's our role to draw near to him. And it's like, there's so many people questioning, why do I not feel God? Why do I not feel close to him? Why do I feel like I have a lack of revelation? And I think it comes down to the fact that number one, it's not a time issue, it's a self-discipline issue. Because we will make time for what is a priority to us. Two, it's a lack of vision of the destination that you want to get to. Because if my destination is intimacy with God, then there's steps that I need to take in order to have intimacy with God. It's like, if I want to have intimacy with Chad, if I want to have intimacy with you, then what happens? We ask questions. We spend time together. There's things that need to happen in order to experience that intimacy. So it's like, okay, well, people talk about vision for your life so often. And I feel like a lot of the vision is so worldly. I want this house and I want this savings account and I want this many kids and I want to live on the land, or I want to live beachfront, or I want to live in the mountains, or whatever that might be, whatever that vision is. And it's not like that vision is inherently wrong. It's just the root of it is our kingdom and not his kingdom. And so what's the ultimate destination, right? It's like, okay, no, I want to have that eternal perspective. That's like, I'm more concerned with the day that I meet Jesus face to face than what else is going on. As I do, it's so easy to get caught up in the day-to-day worries and anxieties and frustrations and whatever that might be. And it's like, okay, well, I don't just wake up patient. I don't wake up and I'm like, I feel extra patient today, you know? And so
it doesn't work like that. It does not work like that.
It doesn't. And I definitely feel like, and I'm sure you can speak into this in different seasons of parenting, especially with 5 children, because my devotion time has looked so different as a new mom. And trying to find spaces and time, especially as like a working mom as well, because I feel like I can't just say, oh, well, when Micah's sleeping, then that's when I can and do all these things. Cause a lot of times when Micah's sleeping, I'm recording a podcast or we're getting work done or we're filming a video for YouTube. And so it's like nap times feel more like, let's get as much time as humanly possible, like as much as we can get done. Right. And then I get caught up in the busyness of that. And so I feel like I really have to be so intentional about finding those pockets, because I've genuinely tried so many times to open up my Bible or my journal around Micah. And in this season, it's just not working because he wants to rip my pages or take my pen. And it's just a little bit too hard. I'm like, maybe when he's a little bit older and he's like doing a little bit more independent play. But right now, if it's in mommy's hands, it needs to be in Micah's hands. How have you navigated that? Because I'm about to have 2 under 2. And so I know that that's going to look even more different. And so what have those seasons like looked like for you? How have you really prioritized that time to make sure that you're not pouring from an empty cup and like showing up for your family in the best way that you can?
Oh, so much good stuff you said there. Well, it is what you said, that it's always changing. I feel like just when we figure out the rhythm, something happens and it shakes it up. And I love that about God, and I get frustrated about that God, because it's like, okay, because I don't want to be so dependent on my schedule that it becomes like a control thing. But we need order in our days. And so that is important. So like, when the girls were little, so, you know, it's so different, like having 4 teenage daughters and then a toddler boy. So basically right now we're teaching 2 to drive a car and 1 how to ride a bike.
Wow.
You know, like 1 to spread her wings and fly here shortly. Couple years probably. I think she's gonna stay home for a little bit. And then 1 who it's like, you know, trying to teach him how to brush his teeth. So we're in these 2 different worlds.
Crazy.
And when I remember when they were little, you know, our kids, they need our eye contact.
Yeah.
They need our attention. And I remember at one point even being convicted of what I thought was good spending time with God, but it was actually me ignoring and not wanting to deal with the hardship of raising kids. So it wasn't like a, let me get up and have that time. It was like, this is crazy. Like I got to escape. And then just going. And so it wasn't healthy. And I want them to see that my time with God is like all throughout my day. You know, it's not just that set time, but it was like, you know, for me, it was during nap time that I would find myself just in prayer. But I would also, this was something else that was helpful for me. And I had a mom tell me this. She goes, take your Bible, open it up and put it on the kitchen counter. And in this season where it is survival and the littles, like they need you like all the time, you're constantly on, just have it there. And so you see it, even if it's just like one verse or one word in that moment that leaps into your spirit, you can hold on to it and you're able to keep going.
Right.
Because now we're like, okay, four teenage daughters, and by no means has it been easy. And by all means have we made many mistakes, but our girls love to be with us.
Yeah.
And we love to be with them. And we're seeing so much fruit in their life. Mm. And Matt and I've been talking about this a lot lately. And we're like, how did we get here? Like, this isn't normal. This isn't typical. Like, normally your teens aren't telling you the deep, dark stuff they're going through. They're not inviting you in to like help them. Mm-hmm. And we look back and we go, I think it was because we sacrificed a lot of our own wants and desires, especially me.
Yeah.
I mean, at 43, I'll be honest, I thought there were more things I'd be doing. I thought there's more ministry, more just like in my mind what I envisioned and what I still see.
Yeah.
But it's not worth it. What is the scripture? To gain the world,
but forfeit
to lose your soul. It's not worth it. And so for me as a mom, I have put a lot of things on back burner, not 100%.
Yeah.
I've still moved in my giftings and done what I can, not as much as I want, but so I can be present for the girls. I can be present when they're having a meltdown and it's like a counseling session. And I'm like, where's the paycheck for that? As moms, we should be. I'm like, where's the paycheck for being your Uber driver? I'm your cook. All these different hats that we wear.
Yes.
Or just like available for silly moments.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you have to come over soon. Like when these girls, they get silly, it's just fun in this house. And I want to be there for that.
Yes.
And Abby the other day, she said, Mom, I've been trying to figure out what I want to do. And she said, I want to be an entrepreneur like you.
Aww.
And I said, really, why is that? She goes, these are like words that just I longed and prayed to hear, like this kind of affirmation in my kids, because you don't know when they're little. You're like, are they going to be okay?
Yeah.
And she said, I see you do what you love and how you're helping women and you're still available for us.
Wow.
And she's like, I want that.
Wow.
And so, you know, in this season of littles, it is, there's so much survival. There's no perfect formula. It's messy. Yeah. It's chaotic. Every day looks different. But if you can just, even if it's like once a day, you lock eyes, you tune in, you put the phone away, you just like, none of this matters right now. This right here, this matters. I'm going to speak life over you. I'm going to get lost in your giggles and cuddles. Aww. It doesn't have to be for a long period of time.
Yeah.
But when you go to bed at night, you could, okay, I did this, that made me feel good and productive, but when I had that moment with my kid, because that's our greatest legacy.
Yes. Oh, it's so true. I've learned, especially in this season, kind of what I was sharing earlier, especially because Micah's like in the grab season, during his wake windows, I try not to even really have my phone at all, because number one, he'll want it. And then when I take it back, he freaks out. And I'm like, when did that happen? First off, you're not even a year old yet. Like, we're a couple weeks out, and I'm like,
tantrums, attitudes. Yeah,
I was like, he started doing this thing, because at first the phone was not really an issue. Before he got into this stage, and I would FaceTime my mom in the morning, because Mike is a really early riser, and Chad normally will like stay up a little bit later sometimes. Like, we'll have our night and, you know, et cetera, but then he'll like get back out of bed and like go do his thing, because he like needs that alone time. And so, anyways, in the mornings, it's just me and Micah. So I'd call my mom a lot, and that way she can FaceTime in and see Micah and feel like she's involved, because we don't live near each other. And then as soon as Micah started wanting to grab the phone, kind of lost that, because when I go to take the phone, he literally would go, he'll like rear his head back. And I'm like, what is this, sir? We're not a teenager. We're not even a toddler yet. Like, I didn't realize I was going to have to deal with these big emotions so soon.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's just not worth it. And I'm like, what spirit is attached to this phone that is making you so crazy? It's highly concerning, right? I'm like, this phone has I don't know how I feel. But seriously, so it's really because of that, I just tend to leave my phone a lot. Like literally yesterday, Chad got on, we have these little security cameras in our house, and he kept trying to call me because he was literally out to get me dinner and I wasn't answering my phone because I'm with Micah. And I hear this weird voice because he's never done this before, but it's like our security camera. And he's like, babe, answer your phone. And I was like, someone's in the house. I freak out because it doesn't sound like him. And my goodness, he's like, you're not answering your phone. I'm like,
he's gonna get a hold of you one way or the other.
Yes. He's like, I'm literally trying to get you food right now and you're not telling me what you want. And being pregnant, it does matter, because if he gets something random and I'm having an aversion, I will not eat it, and then I'll get too hungry and I'll throw up. So it's a whole situation. And so anyways, it's really, I think, helped me separate from my phone a lot. And I so remember the season where, man, when I was single, I didn't really understand if you wouldn't text me back quickly. I'd be like, oh, I texted this to Aaron and I haven't heard back from her in a couple hours. And I just, it's a small question, you know, like, what's she doing?
It's one answer.
I'm like, come on, it's just a quick text, right?
Now you get it. Now you get the FaceTime. Well, I don't FaceTime.
Yes, now I understand, because people will try to FaceTime me. I'm like, I literally can't FaceTime you right now. It was my love language. I don't know if it is in this season of my life. and so anyways, it's just funny how things change. And so speaking of the Bible verse, what I'll do, because I try not to do too much like screen time or TV, but sometimes the house just feels really quiet, right? Like I need like something on, I need worship on in the background or something. And there's this YouTube channel, I think it's called like Dappy T Keys or something like that. But it literally, he'll have like 3 to 4 hour playlists, and we have like YouTube Premium, so a bunch of commercials don't pop up. And it literally, he had different like waiting on God, anxiety, fear, and it's just instrumental worship music, and it will just play and verses will pop up every couple minutes and they'll switch out, and it's all on like this particular topic, and it's a beautiful scenery.
Does it read the verse or just see the verse?
No, you just see it. And so it's been so life-giving, and it's just this random small thing, but like we literally have it on in our house all of the time, and it's so nice because I'll be playing with Micah, but then I look up and I see the verse, or I'll be doing the dishes and I look up and I see another verse, and it's crazy that so often the verse I look up to and I see is exactly what I need in like that moment. And it'll give me peace. It'll give me whatever. It gave me strength. It'll remind me to trust him. I feel like that's very similar to kind of having that Bible out on the kitchen table. And I'll probably do that as well, especially with whatever I'm trying to like currently read or study. But that's such a good reminder. And yeah, for me, that's been helpful. But right now, I have a lot of fall ambiance on in the TV. And I'm like, maybe I need to switch back. I love to watch the leaves fall.
Cozy vibes. Yes. Well, I love that too, from a brain science point of view, because it's very grounding.
Right.
So when we activate our senses, you know, what we can see, what we can hear, something that looks beautiful, the word of God, the music that's calming, like, it calms our nervous system. So it helps us to think more clearly. Because when you're in a house with a little, it's, you know, you're a little bit on high alert, because you've got to like make sure that they're safe, that everything's okay. So that's really cool. I'm going to check that out too.
Yeah. I'll send you the link to his channel, and I'll post it in the description below. Sometimes I'm like forgetting that we're doing a podcast and we're not on FaceTime right now. I'm like, oh yeah. No, we're
that's still how real it is.
Chad just walked in. He's like, are y'all finished? And I'm like, no, we're still doing the podcast.
I just get started.
Normally it's like around this time, but we also had a 20-minute pre-recording conversation.
We did. We had a lot to catch up on.
I still feel like I have so many questions because you're leading retreats. You're doing so much right now. And I feel like when I actually came to one of your sisterhood, like revival nights, you were sharing on just like the brain chemistry with how it relates to our spirituality as well. And I know we're going to wrap up here in a second, but is there anything? Whoa. Okay. Not sure what just happened there.
You were feeling that moment.
Sorry, folks. Is there anything that you've like recently learned? Because I just remember that was so impactful for me in terms of like the rewiring of our brain and how much that matters in moments of stress and moments of turmoil, et cetera. And I'm like, oh, wow, I'm wired to run back to this instead of to this. And I like need the Holy Spirit to reroute me in some way so that I can handle some situations more Christ-like.
Yes, yes. So I would like where I'm set up camp right there right now is with emotional management.
Okay.
So being able to manage our emotions and what's going on in our brain, but God made us body, soul, spirit. So it all matters. Whenever I'm in groups with women, I'll say, anybody's parents teach them how to manage their emotions? Like, you know, a lot of it's rare that someone raises their hands, and that wasn't a thing. It's kind of like a new thing. Right.
Right. Yeah.
But if you look at the big things like addiction, eating disorders, being a workaholic, perfectionism, people approval, you know, those to me are scarier because they're not as obvious.
Right.
Like I can still produce, I can appear like everything's looking good. Look at all this, but it's coming from that motive of I need approval. I need to feel good about myself. I don't know how to say no to people. So that's like when you're in the secret place, the war room, the quiet place, that's why you go there because you say, God, what's in my heart that needs to come up and out. We need to work on that. And so what I'm seeing is that with a lot of people who have like these, some of these battles going back to childhood, they went through something hard, trauma or, you know, trauma can even be like you moved from one state to the other and you just didn't adjust well. It was hard. You had to make new friends and, you know, you didn't have a safe place to talk about your feelings and emotions. So experiencing emotions that are hard and not knowing what to do with it.
Yeah.
And so running to bulimia. I'm going to throw up because I need a release. Running to alcohol and drugs. Well, I need to numb what it is. I run to being a workaholic. I feel good about myself when I do this. So what I'm learning with emotions and the way God like made us is that the neurons in our head and the neurotransmitters, when we're thinking on things that are positive, it's releasing feel-good chemicals through our body. When we're thinking about things that are negative, it's releasing toxic chemicals in our body. Our thoughts carry power and our thoughts carry chemicals. Yeah. And this isn't just science. People try to like science faith. No, this is how God made the body. Right. And the more we understand how our body works, the more we can actually control the things that we can control. Yeah. And so I love the scripture. It says, as a man thinks, so is he. Yeah. That backs it up, that our thoughts determine so much of our words, our actions, our behaviors, attitudes, our identity. Yeah. So I think my encouragement there, and I could even send a worksheet that you could link.
Oh, would love
and
it.
It's a worksheet. Yeah, it's a 5-step feeling worksheet. And so I do this myself. I give it to clients. I've even had the girls do it. But just when you feel stuck in an emotion and maybe you don't know what it is, but it's like maybe you don't even know you're stuck in an emotion, but there's a behavior. You're like, I keep doing this thing and it's not good. I can't stop. What's the root? Because we're not after just behavior modification, you know, like don't drink, don't, that's not gonna work. Got to get to the root, got to rip it up. And so this worksheet actually helps you figure out like, what is that emotion? Where's it coming from? Have you had this thought before? And then how do you reconceptualize it? And so this is where, and I know you're big on this too. And this was stuff we used to talk about years ago, like declaring truth over yourself. Yep. Like who God says you are. Mm-hmm. Like for me lately, I've recognized like fear has just stolen so much in my life. and I'm done with it. Yeah. And I was reading the scripture the other day in Matthew where Jesus was talking to the disciples. And he said, surely I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain to move and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And so for me, I've realized like fear has been that mountain. And Jesus didn't say, I'll move it. I'll speak to it. He says, no, you do it.
Right.
You use the authority that I've given you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so lately I'm like, spirit of fear, you've got to go. You're not allowed here. You're not allowed in my mind. You're not allowed in my home. This is a place where peace lives. I am more than a conqueror. Greater is he who is in me than he who's in the world. And I'm telling you, when you begin to do that,
everything shifts. You
go to a whole new level.
Yeah.
Even Matt the other day, he's like, there's a new confidence about you. I'm like, I know exactly where it comes from.
Yeah.
I'm changing the way that I think.
Yeah.
So what about you? I know you've got a testimony when it comes to that.
Oh, it's just, it's one of those things I keep coming back to. For me, it's being so cautious about what I'm watching, what I'm listening to, who I'm hanging out with, and what I'm consuming. Because I recognize that my spirit is so susceptible. And so if I'm listening to different music, I'm going to play it in my head. If I'm watching certain shows, I'm going to see certain things in my mind. I'm going to feel certain ways. I even have to really make sure, even if a show is like, okay, do I feel anxious afterwards? Do I feel like, what am I feeling after I watch this? Like, I remember even talking to Kaylee about some music a long time ago. And I'm like, well, what do you feel after you listen to it? Do you feel happy? Do you feel refreshed? Do you feel seen? Like, what is it that makes you drawn to that music? And so it's question I ask her because I ask myself. And so it's some of those things where it's like, okay, well, if the Bible says, think about things that are pure, that are lovely, that are righteous, then I have to fill my head with that, because I know that if I'm listening to worship music and I'm filling my mind with scripture throughout the day, then when I'm not really thinking about what I'm thinking about, that's what's playing in my head. And I very often am like, let me think about what I'm thinking about. Like, what is the track in my head right now? And I notice where I'm like, okay, the track that's playing in my head isn't worship music. The track that's playing in my head is not declarations, or it's not the truth of scripture. So what have I been consuming that I shouldn't be consuming? If I'm finding myself more worried, if I'm finding myself more anxious, if I'm finding myself more fearful, I go back to what am I consuming? And it's just that we always say, take an inventory. Like, we have to take an inventory. Yes, and it's just like what you're saying. It's like, there is power in our words, right? The power of life and death. And I think so often we think that our thoughts aren't harmful because they're not coming out of our mouth. Well, it's just in my head, right? And it's like, no, if the scripture
is coming out,
it's coming out in some way or another, right? You might can hide it from certain people, but it's going to show up at some way or another. It's going to start showing up, even in the way that you believe, even the way you pursue God and the way you trust God. And so, yes, this is something that you taught me a long time ago. And I feel like I've always tried to continue to press into, because I see the ramifications of it in my life. And I feel like the more, like the older and older I get, the stricter and stricter I get, which is kind of funny, because I used to always make fun of my mom for being so strict on me, because I couldn't listen to certain music and I couldn't go to certain things. And now I'm like, none of it. I'm like, I'm going to be even worse. I'm literally going to be even worse than my mom. I'm like, nope. Because now I listen to the songs that she wouldn't let me listen to. And I'm like, well, heck yeah, of course you didn't let me listen to that. It's terrible. It's terrible.
Yeah, you don't know until you become a mom, right? Like, I remember thinking like, oh, I'm going to have a child. And I'm going to make this child perfect. And the first time Kaylee had a tantrum, I remember calling my mom.
What I do wrong?
For everything that I did.
Truly. Oh my goodness gracious. Okay. Well, I feel like once again, we could continue talking for another 3 hours. But I want to honor your time because I know you got five babies to attend to and a church and all of the things, but we'll 100% just have to do a part two because there's so much more we can dive into. And I'm sure that our listeners and viewers will have so many additional questions for you too. And so we'll 100% have you back on, but I do want to give you just a little moment to share like where they can find you, what you're currently up to, et cetera.
Yeah. So you can go to my website, erin@erinblair.life. And currently when it comes to coaching, I'm a life coach, brain health coach. I am focused on the one-on-one coaching, and then I'm leading these women's wellness retreats, and there's some information on there. And if you have any questions, anything that you want to ask, you can email me. And then I'm on Instagram too, @erinblair.
Yay. Well, thank you for joining. I've been so looking forward to this and I'm so thankful for you, the way you've impacted my life, our relationship, all the things. So blessed by you and your relationship with the Lord. So thank you.
Thank you.
I love you.
I feel the same about you.
Okay, well, we'll talk soon. Okay, you guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope that it blessed you as much as it blessed me. Like I said in the intro, anytime with Erin, it just leaves me feeling refreshed. And so I hope that's how you feel today. Make sure to like, subscribe, share with your girlfriends, anyone you think that this conversation would bless. And then also just want to remind you guys that we have an email list. You can put your email in the link that we'll leave in the description below, and you'll be the first to know what we've been working on behind the scenes. So anyways, I love you guys, and we'll be talking to you next Tuesday at 2:00.